the Jazz Crusaders, who changed their name and shortened it to just the Crusaders with Trance Dance. This was from their 1971 live performance at the Newport and Pacific Jazz Festival in 1966. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're following up on what we did yesterday. A couple of things. Jovenel Moïse, the president of Haiti, is still not seen. Nobody knows where he is, but the protests continue to pick up pace and intensify. And we don't know, there is no indication yet that anyone has tried to broker any kind of talks, because it seems as if actually people are fed up of talking. Talking so far has yielded very little or next to nothing, and they want action now. They want the situation in Haiti at all levels, economic and social and just the plain business of day-to-day life, they want it changed and they want it now. So we don't know where things are going to go, but we do know that there's an intensification of protest. I wanted to talk today about something that has been on my mind since this kerfuffle we have in our own country with Donald Trump and many of his henchmen and women, and the fact that articles of impeachment are being readied against him. And we see the reaction, of course. He is freaking out, although he's trying to hold it together. But Donald Trump is he's not that sophisticated that he can, you know, give a false impression that everything is fine, he's not rattled, he's okay, not at all. He's giving the exact opposite impression that he is freaking out. But where I'm going today is not really with what is happening now. I'm trying to get to the point of racism by the good people in Congress. And by their actions, what they are saying. It's the same thing they've always said in times like this when the country is in deep peril. They are expected to stay in the background. They're not central, or they're not made to be central to anything important happening in Washington, D.C. They are consigned to the periphery of things. The real deal, well, that's a whole different story. A whole different set of people handle the real thing. And they consign others, and by others I mean mostly people of color, elected officials. They're not given, or they do not take on, very critical assignments in the interest of the nation. It's an apartheid way of operating. And we are encouraged not to see it. Don't comment about it. It's not happening. It's your imagination, my imagination. And here we are in the moment when one of these things is happening right now. And we have just about every single person of color in the Congress is consigned to the periphery. Oh, we don't need you right now. We might at some point in the future. But right now, we got it. We're handling this. We're handling this. This is our assignment. We really, if we need you, we will call you. That's a long-standing approach in this country. It happens at all levels of corporate life, where people of color have pretty hefty assignments and titles and responsibilities, but let something really important, historic even, happen. Immediately they're consigned to the periphery. Get out of the way. Let the people who really know how to handle this handle this. And I was waiting to see when people would realize this. It happens in the Democratic Party, it happens in the Republican Party. It just happens. It happens in corporate America, it happens in everyday America. When anything important is happening, much less something as historic as this potentially is, it's a historic moment. People of color are disinvited in one way or the other. Just kind of occupy yourself with something else. Knit some socks or do something really important, like groom the cat. While we take care of serious business, you have no reason to be here. You have no part to play in it. And it's happened, it already has happened here. And I remembered I remarked about this some time ago, as a matter of fact. I did a program, well, actually two. I did a program involving a congressman from Texas, Al Green from Texas, who had the temerity, the absolute gall to petition his fellow members of Congress. He went to the floor and he read what he proposed to be articles of impeachment. This was on December the 11th, 2017. 2017. He went to the floor of Congress and he iterated and itemized several causes of action that he thought should be considered in the process of putting together articles of impeachment against the president. At the time, it wasn't even being discussed generally. But he went to the floor representing himself and laying out several items which he felt were so egregious that they should constitute articles of impeachment against the President of the United States. I even played a tape of it. This is what he did. By himself, he was not representing any group or organization. He was just speaking for himself as a member of Congress because he noticed that the conduct of the president, as I said, was so egregious as to warrant serious action against him. After Congressman Green finished his presentation, I also noted that not one member of Congress, not even a fellow member of the Congressional Black Caucus, nobody went up to Congressman Green and shook his hand or patted him on the back saying, good job. You have my support. Nothing at all like that. He came onto the floor by himself. He made his presentation by himself. And he left the floor by himself, unaccompanied, unsupported. That is 2017, 2 years ago. He laid out what, up until that moment, he saw as violations by the President of the U.S. Constitution and acts of commission that he made the case should naturally have led to articles of impeachment. No response. Nothing. He came back later on and he updated his presentation of 2017, adding more crimes, if you will, by the president to reinforce the need for Congress to proceed with articles of impeachment against the president. Well, as you know, Al Green is an African-American man. And it seemed to me, because that was the reason I presented it, there was a total lack of respect for what it is he had to say, even by members of his own caucus. They weren't paying attention. This wasn't important. He wasn't just talking about black issues. He was making the case and citing examples and raising matters that had been widely covered so that people were familiar with what he was talking about. So none of it was really a secret. But enough of Trump's offenses had occurred that he insisted, we cannot tolerate this behavior much longer. In fact, we have to stop it and stop it now. And the best way to stop it is to vote out articles of impeachment against this president. He's unfit for office and He's a clear and present danger, not only to the whole body of Americans, not just to Americans, but to the Constitution. That's what's the case that he made. 2 years ago, in the intervening time, of course, we know that President Trump, who I had said, I'm going to claim that, early on, in the first days of his administration, I said, something is wrong with this guy. And he needs to be evaluated. That's what I said. Something is wrong with this president. And one of the things that has to happen is that the president, although he has won election to the White House, his brain isn't right. He isn't right. And there's got to be a way to have him evaluated, because it's only going to get worse. I said that very early. Some people even said to me that I was crazy to say this about the president, as if the president is so extra human, he can't possibly be afflicted with mental issues. So I've been proven right. And Congressman Green also has been proven right. Nobody pays attention to black people when they raise legitimate questions and they have legitimate points to make, not just, you know, for black people, but for the whole country. It turns out we were both right. But this is about Congressman Green. He was insightful. And he was proactive to take that position. He got zero support, none. He got no support at all, although he was right on the money. And in the ensuing 2 years, it was never raised again. It was never talked about by Nancy Pelosi or by any member of the Congressional Black Caucus or any member of the Congressional Latino Caucus. Nobody talked about it. Nobody mentioned it. Nobody even attempted to pursue it. When it was pursued, here's the gift they gave to Congressman Green: a crushing defeat. 364 against and only 58 for. That is beyond crushing. That's obliteration. All the while, Nancy Pelosi is the head of the party, and she's carrying on with things that are important to her and to her constituency. And I'm speaking now specifically about white America's agenda. That was what was important. So important that members of the minority caucuses were so terrified to raise their voices in agreement.
So Al Green and his demands were given a terrible, terrible defeat. Because what? He said, we have to pursue articles of impeachment, and I'm suggesting that we do that. The president's conduct is really startling, and illegal things are being committed, and he's been given wide berth to do whatever it is he wants to do. It was an insult to the white regime within the Democratic Party that any black person should get on the floor and make a demand like this. It was absolutely insulting. They're not going to tell you that, but that's what it is. If there is to be serious action taken, no person of color is entitled to initiate such action. It would happen, if it happens, under the direction and at the behest of the white leadership within the Democratic Party. And so said, so done. In the current incarnation of this formula, Nancy Pelosi decided when this was going to happen. I just told you, since 2 years ago, it was put on the floor for consideration by an African-American legislator. It went nowhere. And just to make the point, it suffered a crushing defeat. Does that mean that it didn't have merit? Of course it had merit. Well, it has merit now. But we had to wait 2 years to see the merit. And in that time of 2 years, the claim shifts from Congressman Green to Nancy Pelosi. She is now going to be taking credit for that. And she is now going to shepherd it through. She is the hero. Nothing happened for 2 years because the person who initiated it was Congressman Green. Just for the record, I don't know Congressman Green personally. Never met him personally. I'm talking about the historical record and what it shows and why we cannot afford to dismiss it. It's very important. Because the Democratic Party still hasn't given up its racist ways. The Democratic Party still believes that people of color within the party have nothing to contribute. They don't have the intellect. They don't have the clout. They don't have any reason to presume leadership within the party. They must sit and wait until the mistress of the house descends and proclaims what must be done. The heavy lifting they can do, like in the old days. They can tote that barge and lift that bale, but they are not to craft governance in this country. They have nothing to do with actually legislating. So while people are all distracted with this business of, oh, they doing articles of impeachment and blah. Remember the history of it. And it's in your face. It's in your face. And the message is simple. Look, we're doing important things here right now. We don't need you right now. We're doing important things. We'll call you when we need you. And we will be needing, we see it now, we will be needing people to do some heavy lifting around here. Go out into your black communities and tell people why they should be upset and why they should support the Democratic Party in its current endeavors. You can do that. But you're not with us when we close the doors. You're not with us when we frame strategy and when we decide what we're going to do as a party. You have no part in that. So don't confuse yourself into thinking that when we call ourselves the Democratic Party, we really are democratic. Ain't no democracy in the Democratic Party. You can always help us with our agenda, because your agenda is not our agenda. We take care of our business first. And of course, we expect your help as a good Democrat. But you're not leading anything. You're not spearheading anything. No. You'll be confusing yourself. So I reached back into my notes and I saw this and I said, my God, this is the lesson that we should learn in this moment. It is white people fighting white people over issues and concerns of white people. And they intend it to be that way. There's no inclusion here and diversity. There's none of that. Blacks have no clout and won't have any clout in the Democratic Party until every single white member of the party decides, well, I'm giving up the ghost, I'm out. You do whatever you want now. Look at that. At a time that this country is going through rigor mortis, this is their doing. No black legislators caused this. No black leaders caused this. No Latino leaders caused this. This is strictly a white thing that they have done for themselves. Has nothing to do with the people. Nothing. And yet, as they sound the clarion call, all hands should be on deck and everybody should be prepared to do the heavy lifting, taking orders from Nancy Pelosi, who did nothing but obstruct progress. Got away with it, right in your face. I say there will be no articles of impeachment. We are not going down that route. Well, why? Because I say so, is why. Not only that, we don't need you to participate at this time. Participation will come when we ask you to do heavy lifting, to help us out of the ditch we dug. Meanwhile, they have spent the last couple of years digging a hole to fill a hole, as my African friend would say. He says that's the solution. You dig a hole to fill a hole. And the whole country, they don't care. If the whole country suffers because it is not to occur, it is not, progress is not to be made until they head it up. They give the orders. They make the plan. They design the outcome. And they tell people what to do so that they end up on top. Look, what I'm saying in effect is this. If you've never really stopped to think about the history of the Democratic Party and its racism, here's a good time. Here's a good example. They are saying, Nancy Pelosi makes no bones about it, it doesn't happen until she says it will happen. And by then, if she says it's going to happen, it is because meetings and phone calls and deals have been cut for people individually. Has nothing to do. Are you getting good schools out of it? No. Are you getting more hospitals out of it? No. Are you getting more jobs? Are you getting housing? You're getting nothing except the exquisite privilege of doing Nancy Pelosi's bidding when she invites you to do it. Not one single legislator has broken ranks and said, wait a minute, this is not about Nancy Pelosi and the higher-ups in the party and the oligarchs that support them. This is about the Democratic Party, the People's Party. Well, I guess the argument could be made, well, anything we do to make sure that Trump is ousted is, in fact, a contribution to the people. I'm not buying that. And I'm not buying this sudden and fake. Now, here's where you could use the word fake. Patriotism. There is nothing here so far that specifically relates to the people of the United States and their interests and what's good for them. And it isn't because people didn't try. I'm saying here for the record, the first person who launched the idea of basically going after the president and his administration on the basis of crimes they allegedly have committed was a black man from Texas. And once they orchestrated this incredible defeat of his bill, of his suggestion, you notice he too faded away. he lost heart. He might even have lost hope. But the record shows he tried twice. He tried twice. 2 years ago to get people to focus on this matter and in a different way. It was not to be. Let's take a little break and come back to you and your reactions and ideas right after that. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about a subject that will never be discussed unless it seems we raise it ourselves. And that is how the Democratic Party, even in this situation where it proposes to fight in everybody's interest, is very clear about whose interests matter and who should have any participation in this process. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. We start off in Connecticut with Ron.
Greetings. Hi, Eutrice.
Hello, Ron. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Okay, I'm hanging in.
I see you're upset. You have good reason.
Yeah, I am.
First, I want to thank you for your wisdom and your love.
Thank you.
And I want to say, I'm so clueless. I did not know that the very fabulous and multi-talented Reverend Al Green had gotten involved in a political career.
No, not Al Sharpton, Al Green.
Oh, I was joking. The Reverend Al Green?
He's not a reverend. He is a congressman.
No, I mean from the soul music world. That was the hinge of my joke. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Didn't work. So I'm going to get off the phone right now, but I just want to say why I think Fancy Nancy finally said yes to impeachment. It's quite simple. I probably got it from watching the Jimmy Dore show. Considering everything he's done for self-emolument, beating people up and killing them all over the place, no.
You're not suggesting that Donald Trump has been beating people up and killing them all over the place.
Oh, he's been shooting people on Fifth Avenue and everything. Okay, so listen. Nancy didn't lift a finger while he was doing all these shenanigans. But now that he has gone and stepped on the toes of another elite.
Well, she saw that it was inevitable, so she might as well jump on the bandwagon. It was inevitable that there was going to be a confrontation with Trump. And that people with means were taking on that fight. she decided, well, I'll lead from behind and take credit for it just the same. Thanks for getting us started today. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
You have an excellent show, as usual. Today, I love the topic you're bringing up. Like you said, no one is ever going to talk about this type of issue. Only here on the lead stories where we're going to hear something like that. And also, I just wanted to add a couple of things to what you were talking about. Well, with this latest impeachment endeavor that the Democrat Party is undertaking, Nancy Pelosi has made it clear that she's only going to have articles of impeachment brought up on this Ukrainian issue. She doesn't want to have a broader scope of things, which basically is going to take out any of the articles that Al Green had brought up previously. That's one point to that cements your argument that this is a white thing and not a everybody included thing.
Nope.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Very, very much so. I thank you for calling in and contributing that. Thank you. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Trees. How you doing?
Okay.
I don't know why you're so surprised. I mean, this country has never dealt with the black or African-American descendant of slaves seriously ever. The closest point we came to being respected was in the 1960s with the Civil Rights Movement, the Black Panther Party, the African Liberation Movements. That's one of the closest we've ever came to being taken seriously and respected because we were feared. And once the black leaders were co-opted and taken into this Democratic Party, that's what we have. We have it's a farce. It's what I call it's a cabal of corruption. Because even with these charges that they're trying to bring against 45, Biden is still as dirty as 45, because Biden basically did the same thing that 45 did to protect his son, who was kicked out of the National Guard for cocaine abuse, and was given a false job on this board in the Ukraine. And the Biden bragged about removing the prosecutor who was trying to indict a case on his son, as far as him sitting on the board. So it's a cabal of corruption. It's a cabal of corruption, historic racism, historic systematic prejudice, and we got to cut it all loose. We got to cut it all loose.
What does that mean, by the way? You got to cut it all loose.
We've got to start with a new party. We've got to start, and it's going to, like I said before, it's going to take time. It's going to take an endeavor of education. It's going to take an endeavor of persistence. It's going to take an endeavor of intellect, and it's going to take time. But this system has to fall because it's too corrupt. It's far too corrupt to continue and maintain any type of validity for the common people, specifically, generally, and specifically for the African-American people.
Well, I think if you're talking about democracy, small d democracy, it is an inclusive thing. Everybody who subscribes to a particular way of thinking and doing things and seeing the big picture, who would sign on to an effort to make the playing field a little bit more level, hey, come on in. But that's not what we've been seeing. And it's a deliberate, it's a sham, and they're trying to keep it going without changing anything. So we have to peep their cards every now and then.
Yeah, well, it's all tied in. It's tied in with the death of capitalism. It's tied in with the death of quote-unquote democracy, because this was never really a democracy. It was a republic made by rich white landowners to maintain a certain type of new aristocracy and quote unquote the new world. So it's historic. It goes back. It goes all the way back to the writer of the Constitution, the writer of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, except for the slaves I got in Monticello. I mean, it's all a farce, and it's got to end.
Thanks a lot for your call today. Thomas from Queens, you're on the air.
Yes. You know, I think there's another factor involved in what you were describing in Congress, namely that if you look back in the Nixon impeachment hearings, a lot of reputations were made. There were politicians who were, reelected decades and decades afterwards on the basis of appearing in front of television during those hearings. But even before that, there were people who brought up, possible impeachment, but they were not paid any attention to because, you know, if you take a shot at the prince, as Machiavelli said, you better hit or watch out. And a lot of people wouldn't want to take the chance that Green took, laying out the case for impeachment against Trump. Only once it got traction were suddenly people interested in. And, you know, Green and anyone else who was not well-placed in Congress enough to make a big reputation for themselves would be interested. And this has happened repeatedly, I've seen over the years. There was an example in Harlem way back, I think it's back in the 60s, there was a group called HARU Act. It was a grassroots group. It was a grassroots group that was doing, good work in Harlem with kids. It got some traction in the news. And then it got some funds voted to it. As soon as the funds were voted to it, Adam Clayton Powell insinuated his cronies into HARU and turned it into a slush fund for him and his friends. It eventually, fell apart. Why? Because once he saw that there was something in it, and he was such a big shot, and his friends were well-placed, they used it for what they could get. I can give another example. This, although it was political, it wasn't in Congress. There was a scandal in New Jersey back, I think it was in the 70s, in which I think it was Lautenberg was caught taking bribe money from, supposedly from Arabs. It was called Abscam. I don't know if you remember that. Hello?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah. And Abscam was, they got some guy dressed up like an Arab who went in and they got him on videotape handing bags of money to Lautenberg. The original story, when it broke, was written and researched by a black journalist at the Daily News. He researched it. He got the connections. He wrote the stories. As soon as he broke it, the editor of the Daily News took it from him and handed it to a bunch of crony reporters on the paper, plastered their names all over it, and forbade the original guy from mentioning anything about it anywhere else. The point being that when there's something to be had, impeachment is gold. If it doesn't work, you look like a fool. If you complain that you want a certain politician impeached and it goes nowhere, you look like a fool. But if it starts going somewhere, everybody who has power in that structure is going to want a piece of it, is going to want to get his name plastered over it, is going to want to go on TV. He wants to get reelected on the basis of that, which many of the people who were in the original Nixon committee hearings, But they became famous. Sarbanes, Barbara Jordan, others. You know, they became famous for years. They made reputations on this, and I think that's a factor involved here. I mean, aside from the plantation politics regarding black politicians and their power in there, as you were saying earlier. But I just thought I'd bring this up because it is, it was something that I remember over the years. And I thought
thank you so much. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for contributing. Thank you so much. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
All right. The last call actually kind of similar to the point I'm going to make in regards to the situation because Al Green falls. Going to fall in the line of many forgotten black people who have initiated certain things. And the one person I want to bring up was Abraham Bolt. He was the first black Secret Service agent that was detailed to a presidential watch. And he was the one
I interviewed him on the program.
Yes.
Very lovely man.
Yeah, he was the one that brought up a possible assassination of John F. Kennedy when he was going to visit Chicago. And this was 3 weeks before the actual assassination. And he was actually charged with, I think it was with treason or some phony charge where he had to serve some years. But he was the one that brought up the possible assassination of Kennedy. And Green seems to be, you know, and just like the last caller who presented about the black journalist, about the app scam incident, they're all going to fall in line of people who saw, you know, black people who saw something coming and were basically kind of ignored. So I just wanted to bring that up as well.
Well, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling in today. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
My beloved sister.
Hello.
And my beloved son. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Beloved, how are you? You know, Eutrice, listen, I have to say it. On your shoulders I stand, and many more. Now, I don't understand why you're getting all bent out of shape.
I'm not because bent out of shape. I'm looking clinically like at a situation and saying, we have to, when these things occur, they must be noted and not forgiven and not forgotten.
Oh, okay. Well,
He said, okay. So you let me live. All right.
Just like I said, it's none of our business. They're only tolerating us. And this so-called Democratic Party, Negroes and Negroes in Congress, they're just window dressing. They're so happy to be there. They have to, they know their place. That's it. For us to look to them for any form of leadership. First of all, let me say this. There are only, in my judgment, two leaders in America. And you're one of them, living today. Oh. Why? Because you speak on truth and you stand up more of a man than a woman. And Minister Farrakhan. That's it. You know, our business should be the UN, the Nation of Islam, and Mrs. Farrakhan, and the black things of that nature. The ghettos of America, where our people are suffering, sick, and dying. That's our business. Not what these people are doing. That has nothing to do with that.
We still have to contend with positions of power and authority that, whether we see it or not, they affect daily life across the board. And so you can't just say, well, this is all we're looking at is over here, because we have to start making connections about what happens in our neck of the woods and the connection to other systems that don't necessarily have our interests at heart, but they are flourishing and they're getting by with a lot of crazy stuff simply because we're not putting them on notice. We're not indicating that we're watching what they're doing. And we will move against them because it is wrong what they're doing. You know, we haven't reached that point. We're just not dealing with it that way.
Eutrice, I respect that, but what I'm saying is that we have to take control of our community.
Well, that's we've been saying that, but it's not happening.
What?
We have been saying that, but it's not happening, yes. And we have to recognize that it's not happening.
We allow this system and optics.
Well, here's the thing. We have to start letting people know, when you allow something, don't object to the consequence of it, because there will be a consequence and you will pay the price. So you can't have it all these different ways. You're either committed to doing something or you're not.
If you're not, then go away. And if you are, then get purposeful about your actions. But just talking, we talk. I'm tired of it. I don't even listen to people anymore. All exactly. I need to know is, what's your last action? What was your last act in behalf of a community?
Exactly. What are you doing? What are we doing in our community? That should be our concern. Not what these people are doing, because regardless of what they do, they both agree. It's one party, first of all, and they agree on one thing. We must crush those Negroes and Negroes.
Yeah, but let's not call them names. Let's just simply say the people who are not performing up to par would decide that they should have no political future. But we don't even do that. We just talk about how angry we are. And that's as far as we reach with our political action. We don't do anything. And nobody has any fear of people who just talk and don't do anything.
Well, you know, one of the reasons for that.
We have to go because we're out of time. I want to thank you all for calling in and contributing. Of course, we'll continue this discussion in one way or the other, but it is important not to miss the point. Not to miss the point. And if you just get the point, you would have done a marvelous thing for yourself. And that is, you've made the link between systems of oppression and you, and how you minding your business, at least you think so over here, and there are people who have very sophisticated plans as to what should happen with your power or your prospective power. That brings us to the end. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and let's hook up again tomorrow and cause some more trouble. Bye-bye.